Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in to our fine program. If you are new to We Hate Movies, this week we're doing a real forget-me-not movie, man. 1985's My Science Project, directed by Jonathan Bitoul. This is one for the ages.
It's just nuts.
It's just been forgotten by time. And here's my thing about this movie. I feel this movie would be much more remembered and perhaps appreciated if not for one Fisher Stevens.
I mean, he's the problem. I mean, that he's the big problem.
That's the one.
That's the one in the the center jewel of this shit pile is Fisher Stevens and his the fucking dialogue he's asked to go through in this movie.
Now, this is the same year as Weird Science came out, so clearly only one high school sci-fi comedy could win out in heads.
This is what, 1985?
85.
It's Back to the Future as well.
Back to the Future, yeah.
Man, they loved science fiction high school.
Well, I kind of feel like this is like if you put this movie in that Willy Wonka machine that fucking like splits things into atoms and they all go up in the air.
Yeah.
Like you throw that thing in there and all of a sudden you'd see fucking Return of the Jedi, see Back to the Future, you see Christine's, like you see all these fucking science fiction like TV shows and movies because this is fucking reference crazy like nobody's business.
Oh yeah. We're talking about all sorts of better movies in this movie than what we're actually watching.
One thing to say about Wonka technology, though, that shit's built to last. Everlasting gobstopper?
I know.
This is not. People forgot about it.
They forgot about the titular project of My Science Project.
You know, that number one problem, Fisher Stevens. Number two, the title.
Yeah.
Well, what the fuck is that?
Nobody works on anything in this.
I'd rather have it called Science Project. Or how about Magic Box?
Well, I feel like My Science Project, that's just like making kids think about school.
Yeah.
I'm going to the movies on Saturday. I don't want to think about going to school.
Yeah.
I mean, one for My Science Project, please. I'm expecting to see a paper mache volcano.
I think like it's going to be like a romantic comedy about like, and I mean, it starts this way about like a jock who needs to get his science project done and he meets a nerdy girl. So I'm thinking, okay, this works out. You know, they're going to help each other make this volcano. She's going to give him, Alka-Seltzer or whatever the fuck.
He's going to erupt
everywhere all over her face.
Multiple ways. What?
Oh my God.
See how I snuck that one right under you?
Yep. Yeah. It was a real low and inside fastball there, Kevin.
That's his style, man.
And I mean, we haven't gotten to it yet, but I mean, the titular project, what they call the project.
Yes.
It's, to me, it just looks like somebody went to, I guess, like the first Spencer's Gifts.
Yeah.
And just like fucking cobbled together whatever was $10.
Well, you're absolutely right because it's got that. It's the
science, touch globe,
right?
In the yeah,
but this was I think this was before Spencer's Gifts. This might be Spencer's Gift, like the original
to the world.
The original. Spencer's like Spencer worked in the prop department for My Science Project.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Wait a minute, I could sell all this goofy shit plus blacklight posters and T-shirts for fat guys all in one store." Now that guy's a fucking billionaire, probably.
And Hawaiian Tropic bikini posters? Sure, why not?
Absolutely. So, by the way, the real quick gist of this movie is Jock has a science project due, or else he fails and doesn't graduate high school. So he stumbles across some discarded alien technology that opens holes in time.
Right, well...
Something, Dennis Hopper.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, let's kick it off at the high school. He meets that nerdy girl. She kind of wants a date with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. So
I feel like there's some sort of, I don't think they meet there. Like, because the way he treats this girl, I feel like they were like childhood friends that just sort of grew up and grew into different cliques kind of a thing. Cause she's like, hey man, you know, I really need a date for this dance. You know, she works on the yearbook committee and she's like, you know, they're going to vote me spinster of the year or whatever it is. I was like, I don't think that's a yearbook category.
Yeah, I don't
category.
Think you vote for spinster. I don't think most kids know what a spinster is.
Or it's like, what does she say? Like most likely to become a spinster or something like that. Meanwhile, by the way, it's a classic case of this is a totally pretty girl with nerd glasses on.
Oh, and that's what
Oh, wow. Look at this pig. Look at this nerd that couldn't possibly
get a
date.
She's also wearing like the fucking puppy sweaters and shit like that. And I mean, they do dumber.
It is 1985.
I mean, I guess that is true. But like, you do wonder like what exactly, because right before they meet, he gets dumped by this girl. And like, he goes through this whole thing. Like, he's like, what? I fed you. I gave you rides places. And now you're just going to dump me like I'm a loser. Like. Dude,
If
that's what you think it is, then yeah.
I fed you. I took you for walks. What else do you need?
Brushed your coat.
You're describing what you do to a dog, right? Why am I getting dumb?
Talking about fucking the pooch.
Yep.
Oh, wait. That was on our True Detective bonus episode, which is already out.
Well, yeah, it's already out on our app and Bandcamp page. So if you want to understand what that joke's about, I guess you'll just have to pick that episode up.
But joke jacked.
Yes. The movie starts with him. He needs a science project to pass. And Dennis Hopper is telling him that you have to get, you know, you're this genius, this guy who works on cars all the time. Yeah. You should be able to make this science project no problem.
Let's talk about Dennis Hopper for a second. In the opening credits, I thought this was great. It said, and Dennis Hopper as Bob.
Yeah. That's all you're going to get. That's all this character is. I mean, he is playing a real, like, hey, man, I was there, man. I saw the 60s, man.
Oh, my God. And he made a mini career after, you know, in the 80s and 90s doing just that. Another movie, it's Flashback, for instance, with Kiefer Sutherland. But one interesting thought that made me think of another role of his was at the end of the, when he tells this kid, like, he needs to do Ace's science project or like fail. Kid like starting to walk out. He just takes like a hit of oxygen.
Yeah.
He just takes out this oxygen tank and is just like fucking Frank Booth.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Total it's Blue like Velvet. Fucking references. Like,
I know.
Here, well, here,
but that's,
here, and
that's
here.
Still a year off, though, that movie. I believe it is. Blue Velvet's 86.
Do you think maybe he just had the script at the time? Was like, oh, I'm going to start doing this oxygen. Like, let's get it in early.
I mean, I was expecting him, like, to set the scene, the bell rings, the class is dismissed. He calls the jock up, which, by the way, his name is Michael, played by John Stockwell, who was an actor for a little bit. He's directed a bunch of stuff, and now he does a lot of
I think it's
TV.
Just, I just say of Christine.
He's the dude from Christine.
Is he in anything else major?
I don't think anything particularly major. He's, you know, he's in Top Gun. I forget who he plays. He's in Top Gun.
Oh yeah, he's one of the.
But he's just he's
one
a,
of the
he's
Top
a,
Guns.
He's, yeah, he's a very successful TV director.
Is
now.
He related to Dean?
I don't know if he's related to Dean Stockwell, but that's not a name you see a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He doesn't particularly look like Dean Stockwell. It
could be some cousins.
But he's like, he's like, you got to finish your science project or you're not going to graduate. Class clears out. And then Hopper's just sitting there and he pulls out this tank with a tube on it and hits it. And he's like, oh, the 60s. And in my head, I'm just like, daddy wants to fuck. I was like, oh, man, wish I could turn Blue Velvet on.
Well, yeah,
nope, have to watch this movie.
And also, by the way, before she asks him out, he drops a bomb on her. Haven't seen Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I couldn't believe it. I have the same note right here. I can't believe you said that. Oh my God, what? Come on, get your shit together.
She's like quizzing him, like, you're the last guy I need for, you know, quotes for the yearbook or stats for the yearbook or whatever. You know, she's like, what'd you think of Return of the Jedi? Or I think she's such a fan. She's like, what'd you think of Jedi? No. And he's like, I don't know, didn't see it. I was like, what the fuck were you doing 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was kind of a backlash against Return of the Jedi for the Ewok stuff.
Well, sure.
But like,
But that's after people went and saw it, though. There's no one complaining on the internet.
That's true.
Guy, so if he's a senior in 1985, he's a sophomore in 1983 when Jedi comes out. Sorry, every sophomore on the planet went and saw Return of the Jedi.
This guy. He was too busy tuning up his car.
With his Corvette or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a GTO, I think, maybe.
Man, weird is not the people to talk to cars about.
You know what? Here's the most I can tell you about a car. I know how to drive it, and I know how to put gas in it. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, that's it.
But no, he's also got this car-loving buddy of his, Vince Lotello, very Italianly played by our good friend Fisher Stevens. And my God, is this just the worst. You know, here's just a little bit of Fisher Stevens talking in this movie.
Swept off her. Yeah, I just swept her off her feet, all right, with a left. Hey, a girl pulls that back in Brooklyn, I swear. Bam, all out.
Okay, Vince.
That's it. For an hour and a half, that's mostly what you get. And majority of his dialogue is the reason for all those references.
Yeah.
Because he speaks almost entirely referencing TV shows. It's like the fucking Abed character from Community 20 years before. Like, this guy is just nonstop talking about TV.
I mean, I think fucking Dennis Miller took his whole caricature from this. I mean, like, fucking just bam, bam, bam. Mr. Spock, he calls a big Texas, like, lawman Mr. Spock for no reason.
Doesn't make any sense.
You are right. He does have a little of the Dennis Miller in him. Also, the old Dennis Miller, cue that clip of him saying the F word and it doesn't end in K.
I don't even know
if we want to play that.
No.
I mean, he drops it twice.
He does. It's a big old F. Ends in a T.
Yeah.
Twice, big old ones. That's another reason why this movie is maybe also forgotten.
It's really disarming, like watching something in 2014 and that happens. And it's like just so casually.
It's a hard F, too. It's pretty harsh.
Yeah. He's really hatefully saying
he's
that
not
word.
Looking around or anything. He's just free form, and that's just in his dialogue. Bam. Oh, I can fly this one right out.
So, by the way, the whole prologue to this movie, 1957, there's a UFO crash. Right. Yeah. And it's basically just a playoff of Roswell, even though this whole movie takes place in California.
It's all off screen. You never see the UFO crash. You hear like the dialogue of like these like, you know, Air Force guys or whatever being like, oh, my God, it's going to crash. And it's just like my science project over black.
Yeah.
And then you do see like the Air Force lead, like the scientist guy to the spaceship. And it's just like a matte painting.
It's really bad. I actually read that there were alien dummies made up for like corpses, but they scrapped it.
I bet.
So it's like basically the Roswell crash. And the scientist is just like, ugh, I don't want to deal with this. Just destroy it. Like, that's this dude's solution for a worldwide, like, history-making event. You know what? Take it apart.
Fuck it. Like, take
it apart and then put it in, like, this subterranean shed out in this Air Force base
that you can fall through, as we see, spoiler alert.
Yeah. So basically what happens is like the nerd girl wanted that date and they're going to go and hang out that night. But it turns out he's taking her to the Air Force base to break into it to get a science project because he doesn't want to make one of his own. He'd rather just steal something from the fucking military and bring it to school.
My big question for John Stockwell is, do you know what a project is?
No.
Do you know what it's something you have to work on. You don't just like look on the floor and be like, oh, that's a project. I'm going to pick it up and show it to Dennis Hopper. Well, he says something about like, he's like, I'm not good at science, but I am good at repairing machines. So I just figured we'd wander onto this Air Force junkyard and see if there's something I can't soup up. But like, seriously, what is your end game? Like, you soup up what? A jet engine? And then it's like, well, where did you get all these parts to make a jet engine, John Stockwell? Like, come on, something's got to give here in your house of cards built with lies.
And I'm sorry, like, knowing how to fix a car as well as he seemingly does.
Yeah, he's a real.
You
car
have to
whiz.
Be smart. That's not like a thing that just a dumbass knows. Like, you have to be pretty fucking smart to know that shit.
But Dennis Hopper forbids him from doing some sort of car thing. Because he says, like, oh, can't I just refurbish an engine block or whatever? And he's like, no, man, you do that all the time, man. You know, back in the 60s, we really worked for things, man. I want you to do something original, man.
You have to cut out cardboard and show me how to molecule spits, man.
Well, that's what's great, too. It's like the start of that scene, he's like, okay, everyone, we're going to go around the room and tell me, man, what your science project is. And this girl's just like, yeah, like, well, I thought I'd make a volcano and put baking soda and vinegar in it. That's great, man. Who's next?
I just switched to Senko, okay, man?
I'm coming down really hard, man.
And then when they talk to him after class, he's like, I gotta go, man. It's anti-war reunion.
Oh, yeah. He's getting together with his old protest buddies.
Oh, man.
Yes. Whatever.
Living in the past, man. There's shit to protest today.
You know what's another word that's overused in this film, aside from homophobic slurs, is people saying chow.
Yeah.
It's chow, babe, and chow, man.
Oh, I
just
think it probably just got to the United States at this point, right?
Right, yeah. Well,
this was like ground zero.
Well, it's like it's the 80s, so like that's when America started really dipping into like Italian fashion and shit. So I think that kind of, you're right, like that word was just hitting this continent. Everybody is saying it, and it's obnoxious. Like, it's not just Fisher Stevens, but of course he's the biggest offender of it. But everybody's just like, all right, hey, chow, chow, I'll see you later. Chow, chow, man. You know, it's everybody's saying it. I'm like, you don't realize how stupid you sound as an English speaker saying chow to someone.
Hey, man, Mussolini was a monster, okay? Let's just all fucking take it down a notch. Shit.
I love trendy greetings as much as the next guy, man.
It's just
I'm liking this Dennis Hopper impression.
So they go on this date to the military base.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They like sneak under this wire fence.
Yeah, real heavy security here.
There's planes. There's decommissioned planes, guys.
And he basically just falls into this pit.
Yeah.
And it's like goddamn Indiana Jones.
There's like, complete with a snake.
Yeah.
There's a snake crawling around. I'm like, all right, well, that's not what this movie is, but okay. Oh, I'm scared. You did it. Next scene. And yeah, he's stumbling around this cave, you know. It's not a cave. I mean, it's like a fallout shelter.
It's kind of like where fucking the Terminator and John Connor find all those guns in T2.
Yes.
They're just fucking pulling it up like, yeah.
So instead of that, it's dusty old alien artifacts, I guess.
Just left lying around like not an old wrench set.
Not even stored indoors. Come on. You know, rainwater is getting in there. I know it's California and it doesn't happen much, but it happens sometimes, right? So like he grabs this it's basically a boom, like we said before, it's a boom box with the Spencer's gift stuff pasted on it.
Yeah,
I don't even know what you call those things, but it's like, now
I'm just gonna refer to them as Spencer's gift.
Yeah.
Yes, Spencer's gift.
It's Spencer's greatest gift.
The ball with the light,
right?
And you touch it and it goes, whatever that thing is, it's Spencer's gift. Yeah, the original gift. it's that sitting inside of a boom box with some green lights on it. I mean, it's the prop department, C-.
By the way, the military finds this fucking... I understand they're bringing a scientist into... You're telling me military intelligence doesn't have some interest in what the fuck this thing
is? Yeah, this is the United States of America. How have we not exploited this until it's nothing?
Every other movie like this is about how the government's going to exploit it. So why wouldn't you just have the government exploit it?
Oh, yeah, man. That shit crashed in 1957, and all these years... 18 years later, it's still just sitting around, or what would that be, 28 years later?
And honestly, that's how you make it a better movie. Like, how about he steals something that they actually want, and now you got the government, like, scurrying the town.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll blast it off the face of the earth. Who knows?
The military does not have much of a presence, if at all, in this movie.
Not at all. So basically, his date, this nerd girl, just starts screaming because there's a rat there. So the security guards find out, and they wrestle one out to go and get her. And it's like this giant fat guy with a dog, which he keeps on a leash, okay? So... the guy crawls out of this pit with his alien artifact, grabs the girl... is able to escape under the fence before this guard can get anywhere near them.
Fucking Hinkle is just like sweating and like trying to get through his cheeseburger as he runs.
Like, listen, real world version of this, they're shot dead.
Yeah. Oh, big time, you know, big time.
Big alarms, big lights just fucking shining down on you. This is not just like a podunk operation.
Yeah, there's a helicopter getting launched.
There's cavity searches, dead or alive.
Why would you need a cavity search? He's holding the boombox.
You never know, man.
You never know what else he got away with.
Yeah. I mean, fucking...
And you don't want any...
Hoffa might be down there. He could have...
True.
I mean, who knows what they shoved down in this goddamn hole.
But also, you know, who knows what he shoved in his own hole, what he found down there. And then, you know, you don't want some, like, overzealous funeral director who likes trophies...
Yeah.
...to find something... You know, because those guys will dig through areas and find things sometimes, probably.
Well, it's kind of like when you used to walk by a payphone, you got to check to see if a quarter fell down.
That's what funeral directors are. They do that all the time.
You never know when a quarter is going to fall out.
I just imagine, like, some coroner, like, just, like, turning over and, like, it's just some kid's asshole and he just has a metal detector over it.
Hey, weren't you in Top Gun? Beep, 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 beep.
Ooh,
beep,
you have a prize inside you.
So this kid's home life, by the way, is pretty wretched. He's got a shit-eating father that's, like, fucking the Mary Kay lady.
I can't. This is so... like
Avon and, calling here for a sex rom.
And the easiest way to make your fucking father figure a scumbag is, like, he's getting, like, fed, like, sardines by this woman.
No. It's Chinese food.
Yeah,
there's cartons everywhere, and a dog is there eating Chinese food out of a carton while they're having their sexual foreplay.
Like, this dude's getting, like, diddled, and, like, they're making out with, like, lo mein dripping between their mouths.
Fucking MSG all over their bodies.
Like, listen, you want to bring, like, fruit into the bedroom? That's fine. Just... room temperature Chinese food. Get out of here with that.
Ooh, I got this Mugu Gai pan for you tonight. Oh, take off your fucking boxer shorts. Like, guys.
It's working for me.
Oh, man, I'm so hard just looking at these scallion pancakes. Oh,
man, you must be General, so I'm saluting you.
This episode's brought to you in part by Rocket Money, and they have this question for you. They handed to me just now. Mr. Rocket just handed me this. Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they pay around $80 a month on subscription services, but the actual total is closer to $200. If you don't know exactly how much you're spending every month, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. And with Rocket Money, you could lower those bills without resorting to having bean dinners every day of the week. You know, you have those bean dinners to try to save some few bucks, but if you were monitoring your spending with Rocket Money, you didn't necessarily need to eat every bean dinner. So find out what all the fuss is about. You know, over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like the Stars app. Don't get me started. You don't have to go through all the back end of the website anymore. You don't have to call customer service. Rocket Money helps you manage all your finances in one place as well and categorizes everything. It's easy to keep track of a whole budget. Even I can do it, and I got rocks in my head. So find out what 3 million people have already done. They've taken the Rocket, folks. Stop throwing the money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/WHM. That is rocketmoney.com/WHM. Once more, rocketmoney.com/WHM, which stands for We Hate Movies.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, my 20s, while being a lot of fun a lot of the time, were pretty rough. I wasn't exactly rolling in dough. I lived at home until I was about 25, and for most of it, I didn't have this show or you lovely people in my life. I just kind of drifted around without direction and didn't know where to voice that. Then I started to get my crap together one piece at a time, and the last piece, which didn't come until my early 30s, was therapy. And man, I wish it came along sooner. Ever since I started sitting down with a licensed therapist, I've had a place to voice my insecurities and try to fashion plans to help me achieve my goals. So that's why I'm thrilled we're sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be flexible, convenient, and suited to meet your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and the good thing is you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/WHM today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WHM.
Oh, man.
Like, it's just fucking disgusting.
So this kid comes home to this, by the way, and he's like, huh, well, this is disgusting. Come along, Fido. Let's go in my bedroom so you're not horrified. Or they bring you into the act.
Yeah, who that's knows? Not out of the pit. Yeah, I mean, if they're doing that, peanut butter ain't that far off.
They may have already passed peanut butter.
Yeah, I mean, this might be. I mean, this is a sexual odyssey for this fella.
Thank God there wasn't any Thai food there. Peanut sauce all over the place.
I mean, if the Greek and the feta, I don't even want to think about it.
So this guy's like, oh, son, you're home early. This fine lady was selling cosmetics. It isn't what you think. You know, this guy's like, all right, whatever, you're disgusting.
I'm about to throw up. I'm going to go in my room now and watch, you know, I guess Bill and Ted's or something.
By the way, when they flee the marine junkyard or whatever,
yeah.
The car breaks down like right outside of town because the devices it does weird stuff to electrical appliances
energy
and
things,
yeah anything
yeah.
with energy. So like the motor totally dies out, and this dude is so cool, he refuses to walk into town. Because if he walks into town, man, then everybody's gonna know that he broke down.
Yeah, he's like, got He's got too much car pride.
It's the silliest fucking
thing.
And
she's just like, listen, I know you're like this like jock gearhead jerk, but really? What are we gonna do? His solution, which is less humiliating to him, is calling up Fisher Stevens and having Fisher Stevens push him. In Fisher Stevens' own car.
Brooklyn boy.
Oh, God. Oh.
CB radio. Like, he stops a truck to use the radio. Not for a ride into town. He stops it to call Brooklyn boy, because that's his call
sign. Fucking Brooklyn boy is elbow deep with this Cyndi Lauper girl.
I thought it was Cyndi Lauper for a second. I was like, 1985? It fits.
She could do it. I mean,
yeah, but the girls just want to have fun, but not with Fisher Stevens.
Yeah. Right? That was the first cut. That was the edit. The first version of the song was, girls just want to have fun without Fisher Stevens.
It might have been.
So it's the next day, and he brings this this boombox with Spencer's gift inside the workshop, the auto body workshop at school. And him and Fisher Stevens are like messing around with it. And of course, they hook it up to car batteries because we don't know anything else. And this guy is like, okay, Fisher Stevens, like, here's my science project. And the only time Fisher Stevens is even remotely logical in this movie, he's like, well, how is this a project? He's like, oh, hey, you didn't build it or nothing. How is this a project? You don't even know what it is. And they're like, well, how are we going to test what it is? Hook it up to a car battery. And it just sends this thing going crazy. You know, it kind of looks like this, like, vertical beam of light jumps out of it like a Ghostbusters trap. Yeah. There's, like, force lightning all over the place.
Well, I mean, it made me think of my first thought was From Beyond.
Yeah.
I thought, because, I mean, Dennis Hopper does get sucked into this thing. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's
true. And I thought he was going to come back as a monster with fucking, you know, seven heads and the sprouting and all the...
And this is where they kind of realize, like, there's something with time here.
Because there's an ancient Greek vase materializes in front of them. And then they're like, oh, geez, let's turn this shit off. And they they get it off of the car battery and, you know, everything's fine again. But they have this priceless work of art now. How about the rest of the movie is them selling it?
Yeah,
Antiques Roadshow comes to town.
And it would work out nicely because, of course, Fisher Stevens is an 80s comedy sidekick.
Yeah.
So all he cares about is making a fast buck, right? Like, his first thing is like, we should call 60 Minutes. We could get a real sick amount of money for this thing. And I'm like, just please stop with the get-rich-quick schemes. Please, for 2 seconds, 1980s movies, can we not have this? But no. All he cares about is we got to sell this device, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yet he doesn't think to sell this priceless artifact. Also, doesn't think to himself, I could just replicate more of these maybe if I learn how to use this device properly. None of that happens here.
Well, I mean, since the fucking military isn't interested in it and the higher government isn't interested in it, fuck it. Go to Donald Trump and fucking sell it.
Oh, my God, no. What are you talking?
Donald Trump? Well, because then there's there's a Biff-like villain.
You took the Biff right out of my mouth. Because if anyone would create the alternate 1985 from Back to the Future 2, it's Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like that's what was the thinking behind it. Was that Biff was Donald Trump.
It's terrifying.
This movie just doesn't have a villain. Like, it's just the thing.
You know who's the most villainous in this movie? And it's kind of weird because it's really against type for this stereotype character. There is an evil nerd in this movie.
Yep. Sherman.
Well, the thing is, Sherman is a nerd, and Sherman wants to date Ellie, who is a nerd. And they're both within the same caste system.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to make sense. But she's trying to jump the system to get this, you know, fucking Han Solo car jockey motherfucker.
I mean, I took a
and
look.
And so he's got a right. He's got a right to be a little peeved.
I mean, I took a look at Crystal, his ex. I don't know. You don't have to do too much work, honey. I mean, I understand it. You know, Sherman, I feel for you. You know, the pretty girl with the glasses who doesn't know she's pretty. Well, apparently she does because she's trying to get John Stockwell. But, like, I get it. This guy, he like contracts out bullies.
That's what's weird.
Oh, shit.
Remember the bullies? Because they're barely in the movie, but there's like these there.
Oh, no,
these...
I remember them now, but I totally forgot them. Yeah, fuck Sherman, man. Sorry about that.
They're bullies who hate Michael's guts for some reason. We don't really know why.
I think it's just because they're jealous of how good he is with cars.
They're like, oh man, we can't figure out transmissions the way he can. Let's kill him.
Well, yeah, that's their reasoning. What the fuck?
But so then it's like this nerd Sherman comes together with these bullies and they're like, wait a minute, we have a common ground of hating this guy. Let's join forces to ruin his life by doing such things as putting shaving cream all over his car. You know, really getting him good.
That'll teach him.
By the way, while wearing a Darth Vader helmet and two Stormtrooper helmets while they do this, which is another thing that I'm like, this is why the movie's been buried forever, because Lucas Licensing slapped a lawsuit on this.
You're probably right. Totally right. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Did I see in this new My Science Project film that there's some stormtroopers and a Mr. Vader's present? Well, this movie's not going to see the light of day at all, you fucking scumbags.
I just skull fucked your movie. How you like that?
Might as well called it My Star Wars Project.
It kind of is. It kind of is this guy's Star Wars project. He was like, I watched Star Wars. I watched some other science fiction movies. This is my project on how I tried to make one.
So they activate this device, and then they're like, oh, man, we're late for Dennis Hopper's science final. Because they got the science project, and there's also my science final that they have to get to. And they, you know, they go out to the classroom or whatever, and they're like, they're walking across the campus, and all of a sudden, all the kids start leaving for the day. And they're like, whoa, hang on a second. You know, what's going on? Why is everyone going home? We have this science final. And Fisher Stevens looks at a clock and says, stay tuned. We just went 2 hours into the future.
Yeah.
Because again, he's obsessed with television. And if you haven't gotten it yet, here's another thing. Stay tuned, everybody.
It's too much for me to even fucking deal with.
So Dennis Hopper's all pissed off at him, like, hey, man, you guys cut my science final, man. How could you do that to me, man? You're breaking my heart here. And they're just like, no, you don't understand. We traveled through time, you know. And so this is where he sets up, like, all right, come visit me 9 o'clock tonight. I'm going to be back at school in the science lab grading papers. Come in and show me the progress of your science project. Right. And this is where shit gets really crazy. Like, the setup for this movie is pretty dull, and it's like your average weird 80s comedy. Like, the first, I don't know, I mean, close to 45 minutes of this movie, it's anything. It's Chud 2, Weird Science, there's nothing going on.
I mean, to me, it was more of like, it is kind of a body parts kind of structure, where the first hour, I'm like, okay, this is fine, I guess this is par for the course. And then the last 30 minutes, you're like, what the fuck is even happening?
It's really imbalanced in that way. It's like, if you want to have a movie that gets like, you know, like it crescendos into weird, that's okay. But this movie is really like nothing, nothing, nothing. You know, the strangest shit you've ever seen.
An unexplored thread is Fisher Stevens. Initially, one of his ideas to use this device is to rob a bank with it.
Oh, yeah.
Like they could like get the money from the vault with it or something.
So what are you
like,
going to do? You're going to go into a bank with this fucking Spencer gift pack.
Yeah.
And you're going to fucking sit there and I guess connect it to an energy source.
And then press the button and suddenly it's 2 hours later.
And hope that it's 2 hours later. Oh, it could be fucking 2 years later.
Yeah. It's just, no, he doesn't understand anything about this device. But all he sees is dollar signs. So it's like, any way I can possibly make money off of Spencer's gift, I'll have to see if I can do it. And that, yeah, that leads to nothing. Because I feel like this Fisher Stevens character, it's just a lot of talk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dreams that, you know, are just left, you know, unfulfilled. Percolating. Yeah, he's always thinking of something and never, you know, following through on anything. Like robbing a bank with this alien technology.
Which seems just a little spurious, I got to tell you. At night, they go and they meet up with Dennis Hopper at this place, at the signs, at science class.
The high school, right? Yeah.
They hook it up to a car battery, and the thing fucking goes nuts.
It melts it, too.
It melts the car battery, and now it's functioning on its own. Like, it doesn't need a power source. Like, this thing is just turned on.
And Hopper's all like, oh, psychedelic, man.
He's, like, screaming this entire time, and you're just like... Now, come on, you're the only real name in this movie. Can we please just be a little more sane here? Oh, it's Dennis Hopper. Never mind, we can't.
He finds out it's made of, like, no known metal, so he gets really excited.
Oh, yeah, this is alien technology now.
Yeah.
But so this thing goes off, and he starts getting, like, enveloped in...
Like the energy waves.
The force lightning and the energy and whatever's going on. There's like three different special effects coming out of this
thing. There's a quickening. There's the force lightning. There's...
The Ghostbusters trap.
Yeah, there you go.
The Spencering.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is altogether. Yeah. It's called the Spencer.
So he starts getting like pulled into this thing and like floating up in the air. And they're like, Bob, what's going on? And he somehow... instantly gains an understanding of what this device is and just starts screaming about like seeing through time and this, that, and the other thing. And you're like, you start getting a funny feeling going on and you're like, wait a second. Is Dennis Hopper not long for this film? And then all of a sudden his face like contorts into a monster and he shoots up into the heavens beyond.
That's the end of Bob.
Yeah. He goes to the beyond. And you're like, oh, great. Now I have no anchor in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking Fisher Stevens and this other guy.
He's dull as dirt, John Stockwell.
Well, actually, one of Hopper's last lines is, what a rush.
Well, yeah, man. It's time travel. It's the ultimate high, man.
This is just like I saw when Pink Floyd did Animals Live, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Time and space bent then, too.
Gotta get Roger Waters one of these things, man.
I feel it, infinity, what a rush! No! What a rush!
So now it's like this device is just on, and there's a lot of real bullshit with like the local police.
Oh, because Hopper hooks it into the power grid or whatever. After the car battery.
Oh, that's so right. He takes some wires and just sticks it into an outlet.
Yeah, he's like, that's what we're doing now, man. Fuck it, man. It's just the school power grid. So he puts the wires in there and it goes nuts. And that's where he gets sucked into time. And then what happens next makes no sense.
It makes no sense. So they're like, okay, if we don't stop like the electrical current that's leaving the town, this thing could go anywhere.
They see the force lightning like going down the power lines.
Yes.
So they get into the car, floor it, break into a, like, I guess his parents, one of his parents' place or something to get dynamites.
One of the parents just has a stash of dynamite. I don't know.
I think he works at like a demolition job.
Oh, yeah, the dad's business. Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's
I don't know. I think it's another part of his fetish.
Oh, no, I'm just going to fucking blow you up. I'm going to fucking blow you up.
No, you're a Bugs Bunny. I'm Elmer Fudd.
You think they blow each other up, man?
Probably. Oh, yeah, dude.
The ultimate experience.
Sky high, man.
Oh, yeah, did a little bit of that back in the 60s, man. Back in the war.
So he's driving his car. Like, they're literally racing an electrical current to the town limits.
Which, you know, if you know anything about electricity, I mean, which I'm not saying I do, but I thought it would go every which way.
I would think it's be instantaneous.
Like, it's gone. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Not only is it electricity, it's alien electricity. Yeah. I would imagine that's even faster.
Oh, it would gotta be.
And like, fucking, you're doing what, 120 down the fucking road?
But wouldn't there be another one going the other direction too? Like, wouldn't this lightning just multiply now? Like, yeah, like would, gremlins in your phone
just
line?
You're done for. This is not a race against time. You're done for.
And so here's this movie. They've established the fact that this thing is somehow able to open doorways through time and whatever. So I'm like, okay, it's a time travel movie, right? So here they are. They're racing down the road, this electrical current's going, and all I can think about is the original plot for Back to the Future, like before they came up with the DeLorean and everything, how the time machine was built out of a refrigerator, mm-hmm. and the only way you could travel through time was like a nuclear detonation or something, so it ended with like Marty going to a testing site to be blown up to go back in time. So here I am, they're racing in a car, they're going 120 miles an hour, this like lightning is just going down, and I'm like, something's gonna explode, and a vortex is gonna open, and they're gonna shoot through time, right, in this like hot rod. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. Time traveling hot rod. It's 1985. Nope. So like, you know, they're not ripping off Back to the Future because they don't know that it exists.
Right.
No, that's not what happens. No. They outrun this current and he pulls over and they're like, oh, good. We got ahead of this current enough. I can stop the car, get out and rig this electrical tower with fucking dynamite that
this
I found.
20 minutes of work.
Yeah.
At least this is 20 minutes of work. And you're fucking chasing electricity.
Yeah, he instantly gets everything together for this controlled demolition of this electrical tower. And, you know, they have to, again, we're hooking everything up to car batteries in this movie. It like the detonator doesn't work, so he's got to hook it into his car. And because the car is just this magical, you know, auto sex god thing, it just blows this tower. And they're like, okay, good. We stopped everything. And I'm just like, no, you stopped your opportunity to make a time travel movie.
By the way, insanely dangerous because the car is parked right next to this tower. He's basically on top of it when he blows it up and could have taken them all out, man.
Yeah, by the way, this is this is like an act of terrorism as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
This you're calling in the FBI.
There are thousands of people without power for weeks.
Yeah, this is a humongous deal. And they're just like, fuck it, it's a vortex. Deal with it.
Sorry, vortex-related demolition.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do about
it. Only local PD can deal with it.
Oh, you kids and your science projects.
So then the bullies and the nerd turn them all in, and they get arrested for everything. And you're like, okay, so now we're like processing through a police station. This is exciting. I thought I signed up for a time travel movie. Like, this is seriously, this is the only time travel movie that features no time travel.
I'll tell you what's exciting is when this kid, now they have to like go, he sneaks into his bedroom late at night, mm-hmm. and there's just this lone figure there smoking a cigar. Look, giving him the up and down, being like, you're home awfully late, aren't you, boy? He's got a cowboy hat. It is a detective. The law is there.
What a weird way to introduce yourself to this kid.
Excuse me, can I? Oh, your son's wanted for questioning. Can I wait in his bedroom with the lights off, smoking a cigar? Is that okay?
But then they fucking act like when the parents do come in, they act like, oh, how did you get in here? So he must have snuck into the kid's room.
I don't even, I mean, yeah, it's like, yeah, yeah, we don't mind if you wait in there smoking a cigar in the dark. I'm going to be in the other room fucking a bubbly pizza. Like, what are you, you know, you have to know that this dude is in there.
Right? You would at least smell it.
Yeah, yeah, there's yeah. fucking smoke billowing out of it.
Okay, that smells like a pepperoni pizza. Okay, that smells like old sesame chicken. Yep, got that. Marlene, that's your perfume that you came to the door selling. No one in this room is smoking a big honking cigar. That has to be coming from somewhere else in the house.
I mean, I smell the rotting kiwis and the cauliflower, but for some reason I can't figure out where that Cochiba's coming from.
What's that? No, it's not the burrito I'm fucking. I can smell that.
I mean, and he's played by Richard Masser, who he's been in like everything, but the only thing I can think of right now, In Bored to Death, he's Jason Schwartzman's father.
Really hamming it up here, which is fine because it's someone who's hamming it up, but it's tolerable, unlike Fisher Stevens. So yeah, they get taken downtown. It's very offensive. There's the other homophobic slur tossed at this female detective who Fisher Stevens decides to have this interaction with. And I'm like, man, you just have this like, quote, lovable sidekick who's just this big homophobe piece of shit.
Yeah, he's garbage.
I mean, I know it's 1985, so that was okay back then. But yeah. It's like, why would you choose to have this in this movie?
Yeah, why would you put it in the movie?
Much stronger movie would be, I mean, fucking, obviously he has no father figure because look what he goes home to. Yeah. But like, have fucking Fisher Stevens get sucked up into the vortex. Like, I give a shit about him.
Oh, yeah.
And keep us. Dennis Hopper in this movie, and they have, who has the intellect to deal with it.
Well, yeah. Speaking of Dennis Hopper and speaking about, you know, the pigs that hassle him.
Oh, yeah, he's just pigging all. Oh, man, I don't have anything to say to you, pig man.
Ugh. So the cops are like really grilling these kids to if they know where Bob Roberts is, Dennis Hopper, he's gone missing. If there's any act of domestic terrorism, it's probably an anti-war protester. So where is he?
Yeah, totally.
That's like the only why else would they be looking for him?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, oh, this machine's going off in this hippie science teacher's, you know, lab. He must be conducting some sort of act of, like, you know, chemical terrorism
or
something.
It's fucking enriched uranium in that shit.
So before we can get into a police procedural, because it would be just as exciting as anything else that's happened in this movie, the machine starts really going into overload mode here. And, you know, because the girl doesn't get arrested, they send the girl to the school to like turn it off or something. And when she gets there, the thing's really overloading and she like gets knocked unconscious and everything. So then the last like the third act of this movie is like it's a video game. Like we have to venture through the school, get up to the top level and save her.
But I got to mention like when this is all going on, the power goes out at the police station.
Right.
And it is fucking nuts. Like, it's just chaos. And Fisher Stevens is like, hey, let's get out of here. So they just run out of this police station. And this great exterior shot of this police station where it's all going crazy. And there's inmates, you know, there's prisoners or people who were just arrested running out into the streets like Arkham is just unleashed. Bombs.
It's not electronic locks yet. It's still a fucking key into a lock.
There are criminals cackling in the streets, cackling.
Like it's chaos, man. Chaos reigns. Like that is what's going on. And you're just like, this is a small town jail. Like, why are all these people arrested and put in here, by the way? Like, what is happening right now? And by the way, when the lights go out in a police station, I expect a Terminator to show up.
I expect a generator to kick in.
Terminators, generators, whatever.
Same difference.
But yeah, you're right. Like, really, this is the one power source. Well, I guess this, like, alien device, it might also be capable of knocking out a generator or two.
Okay, but let's look at the faulty logic from the other side. Wait, the police just want to question me about my science teacher. I better escape custody immediately.
Yeah, and like, steal one of their cars, too. What the fuck? Sure.
Yes, he steals a guy. Speaking of Arkham, they're riding like the fucking Joker hanging out the back on this squad car.
Fisher Stevens mentioned something about, like, I've always wanted to do this. I'm like, really? You've always wanted to steal a police car? Those are some weird goals you've set for yourself.
Also, so that he can finally bust the you-know-whats.
Round them all up.
Yeah, so he can go on some ridiculous homophobic rampage. Yeah. This fucking hate spewing character.
But he's the affinity for the police car and the uniform. So like he's a complex character battling with himself. He's basically Hitler.
But I mean, he's a fucking string bean, and he like tries to shoot a fucking shotgun. And I was expecting a Naked Gun joke where he goes flying 50 feet.
Yeah, totally.
Because I mean, this guy can't take the kick.
No, he cannot.
He also, by the way, dresses like he's one of the fucking T-Birds from Greece.
Yeah,
it's really, really obnoxious.
Oh, the levels of I'm a Brooklyn guy is just insufferable.
Oh, isn't it just great? He's this tough guy from Brooklyn, and every ninth word out of his mouth is Brooklyn.
See, the thing is I would try to do an impression of it, but you know what? I care about our audience and I care about their ears. Yeah. And I don't want them to have to deal with what I had to deal with. They probably already heard the clip. They know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. You know what you're putting up with for 96 minutes or whatever it is, man.
Oh, man, but the thing is, he's not even from Brooklyn. Like, okay, he was there as a child for a few years, and then he grew up in suburban California.
Yeah.
So let's tone it down, Brooklyn boy.
I'm coming. But if I'm going to wind up in another dimension like Barbarino, I'm going in there packing.
So the machine's overloading. We have to get to the high school because we have to save, you know, our lady friend from possible total annihilation.
Right.
Who knows?
It's going full vortex over this school now.
And so this is where stuff really starts getting messed up. So they break into the school. By the way, they team up with the evil nerd. At this point, like, the evil nerd is sort of like, what have I wrought on the school? Oh, no.
I love the school books.
But it's
the school books.
But Sherman, like, my thing with the fucking Sherman is, like, he's like, oh, well, oh, Ellie's in trouble? Okay, well, I could probably shut this thing down. This alien device that can split time and space.
You shut it off.
Well, man. He's well-read.
I guess, yeah.
That's,
I mean,
yeah, so they know everything.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there you read, you know, Walden a couple times and you first fucking know how to do it.
Dude, nerds can do everything in movies. That's what they're there for.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
So they walk into the school and they're like, oh, geez, something doesn't really seem right here. And you realize what the gimmick of this movie is. And it's not time travel. It's like...
It's dry ice.
Yeah. All like walks of like time are phasing in and out of this school. And it's not like, oh, you know, my high school in the 50s, you know, this California land when it was the old West. It's not
just
like
random history stuff.
Just random history floating into this, including one of the most ridiculous things. Like, I don't know how you make an error like this when you're making a movie, but he's saying like, oh, there's all these people from all these different times. And you see like a cowboy phases in and out and there's like a Roman soldier or something.
They're Nazis.
You see two Nazis. One of the Nazis is played by an Asian actor.
It's so ridiculous.
What are we doing? What are you doing?
And it's a Nazi ghost, by the way. It's not like the action. They actually do come in eventually, but the first couple ones are like spirits of
There's a little
time.
Bit of like, they're like translucent kind of.
Well, the thing about the Nazi ghost, the Nazi Asian ghost is, okay.
Yeah.
All right, man. I mean, you're thinking about it like that it's 1945 or whatever. But
you're not thinking about this fourth dimensionally, man.
But also, sure, it could be an alternate dimension where the Nazis were Asian, or it's from the future, man. Have you ever thought about that, man? Maybe the Nazis come back, man.
You know what? I did, and it's disproved by the fact that the future representation in this movie are a bunch of mutants.
It's Star Trek Nemesis. It's like, who gives a fuck?
They're like,
I give a fuck.
They're like, oh no, now there's mutants. Must be after the Atomic War. What Atomic War? What are you even talking about, Fisher Stevens? You don't have some prior knowledge of future
of course,
events.
Of course, the Atomic War that happened 50 years from now.
Anyone in the 1980s had a firm understanding that eventually we would nuke Russia and Russia would nuke us back. And
right.
That would be the Atomic War. And then, you know, 50 years later, we'll be fine. We'll
just
be,
turns into threads for some reason.
We'll be mutants with laser blasters. That yeah. makes total sense.
Yeah, that works.
Sure.
So then the tone of this movie changes very drastically. So there's like two huge changes, right? The first change is like, this is just a dull teen comedy. Then boom, Dennis Hopper sucked into a vortex violently. Okay, that's weird. Now it's, oh, there's this weird machine that we have to turn off. And you're like, okay, it's getting weird. There's like time ghosts and whatever else. All of a sudden they run across this gladiator. And this gladiator like starts fighting our main character, Michael. Right.
And this is where Fisher Stevens lets his other F-bomb drop about the fact that this gladiator is wearing a tutu. Thusly, yes. He is a F-word.
So, yeah, Fisher Stevens drops that, and you're like, oh, God, I hate you. I hope this gladiator kills you. And then Michael gets in a fight with this guy, and they're fighting. And all of a sudden, the movie takes a weird turn where Michael gets a knife and just starts jamming it into this guy's fucking lung cavity.
He's shibbing him.
He's really just going, and it's really violent.
He kills him. He brings him from another time into his time and murders him. What if the guy was important?
Yes. What? Yes, they have no... There's no understanding of the space-time continuum, fucking with the past like that.
Yeah,
nothing.
That was Spartacus.
Also, what... First, he kills Neanderthal man.
Right, yeah.
Let us forget...
There's a... No, the gladiator is first, because it's the first... You're like, holy fuck, like that's a
Are
bet.
You sure?
Yes, because then they're like, oh wow, that was weird. And they turn a corner and then there's a Sasquatch attack.
You know what I was thinking about is how Fisher Stevens was about to let the world go into, I guess, you know, time vortex hell because he might fuck Cleopatra.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
Cleopatra walks
there.
Through and he's like, don't mind me, fellas. I'll be over here for a minute. And you're like, oh, I hope her bodyguards kill you.
Cleopatra turned down kings, motherfucker. Read some history.
That's true.
Get the fuck out of here. And of course, yeah, so he shivs this fucking gladiator who is like, I mean, it is as big as the guy with the metal mask in Gladiator.
Yes.
Sven Ole Thorsen.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
Yes.
But so you're like, okay, you know, he fought him, whatever. And then, like, they pull back. He pulls the knife out of him. The knife's bloody. You see this guy's wound. And they're just like, yeah, you killed him. And I'm like, wait, so now we're just murdering people? Like, that's what this movie is? Like,
yeah, cold-blooded shit.
We just turn graphically violent in a movie that has had no graphic violence. And if anything, like, the violence that's happened is a little like, oh, good, you knucklehead. Yeah. Like,
honestly,
bullying shit.
Minimal cursing, just those slurs.
Just Fisher Stevens' hate speech. Everyone else is, you know, as clean as a Cosby record.
It's insane.
And so then there's, like, a Sasquatch attack, and they murder that. They just shoot this thing.
They kill the missing link. That's why we haven't found it yet.
And we never will because Fisher Stevens shot it.
And then, I mean, by the way, if the butterfly effect holds any water, this, I mean, everything's gone.
Oh, by the way, stay tuned, I'd bet, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So they turn a corner. They go into now they're in the gym locker room. And obviously, that amount of moisture in that area, of course, jungle, Viet Cong.
Yep.
Viet Cong everywhere. Man, we're back in the 60s again.
I thought I fought to eradicate this, man. Now we're just back here again, man.
Charlie's back in the trees, man. In the palm trees, man.
And how useful would Dennis Hopper's character be at this point? Like, you're making a Vietnam reference.
Yeah.
It's right there, but no, this guy's nowhere to be found. And instead, we just take a bunch of machine guns and slaughter these people.
Speaking of which, the Viet Cong have a prisoner who's an American.
Oh, yeah.
With his own machine gun. And then they basically help this guy kill all these Viet Cong. And then this American GI is just like, hey, thanks. We'll see you around. And leave. What are you fucking doing? You're staying with them till you find the unit. What are you? If I'm in the jungle and I just, you know, murder several Viet Cong, as proud as I would be, I would stay next to people and fucking figure this out. I got to get out of here safe.
There's all these fucking fog machines everywhere. I am tripping balls. I got human contact who doesn't want to kill me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one second I'm fighting the Charlies in a Vietnamese jungle.
Yeah.
The next thing I know, I'm kind of in a jungle, but all the plants are plastic and what appears to be a men's locker room that I'm walking through. And this guy's like, well, see ya. What? What are you even talking about?
Maybe he went and started dating Cleopatra.
Well, it's like if the end of like the first Bill and Ted, they bring all these historical figures for their presentation, which, by the way, another My History Project, that movie. But you know what? That movie has actual fucking time travel
and
in it.
Jokes.
Oh, yeah. There's jokes.
No hate speech.
No. But can you imagine if Abe Lincoln and Socrates, you know, they just walk off. They go to the food court. Well, glad we could help you with your presentation, Bill and Ted. We're off to the mall again. Instead of being like, why can't I go back to my own time? I don't know what this place is. That this guy just wanders off, man. Makes no sense. But you know what, everybody? We haven't even gotten to the craziest shit yet.
Yeah, that's that really is nothing.
And this really is just like a... It's just a whole video game sequence. Because we're like... The next level of the school is the next weird time phase we walk in.
Call of Duty to Turok Dinosaur Hunter.
Oh, man.
Turok.
I loved that
game. I played so much goddamn Turok. I cannot even tell you. I shot so many fucking evil raptors.
Oh, so many dinosaurs getting killed.
That fucking Chancellor, that guy cheats. Guy had spark guns and shit. Here, fuck him.
I'm just like proud of myself for knowing that I said it right.
Yeah,
I did not play it as much. As
you didn't
guys.
Play Turok?
Well, you know, dabble.
You dabbled in Turok,
but no, it was not my prime. No.
So after we kill Viet Cong, what's next? This is when we kill these mutants. There's a big Star Wars laser fight because it's my Star Wars project. So,
yep.
You know, we were really like one extended light beam away from a lightsaber. It's just
yeah.
It could have happened. I wouldn't have blinked.
And we're just murdering people because all we're doing is murdering
wholesale
people.
Wholesale slaughter.
Until we get to the princess and hopefully she's not in another
castle.
Yeah,
then finally we can get out of Mushroom Kingdom.
So they kill these mutants and you're like, all right, that's got to be it. Mutant slaughter, we've reached the future. In these video games, you know, if you get to the future level, like Turtles in Time, you know, the game's over with.
Or when you're like racing in the stars in Mario Kart.
Yeah, exactly. Once you get to like the Rainbow Bridge Road,
yeah.
That's like Mario's futuristic road. Like
that's
all
the
over.
Infinite. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, the
goes
infinite.
To Asgard, yeah. Right?
Goes to Asgard or that nice apartment at the end of 2001 when they go beyond the infinity.
No, I have this idea of like fucking Idris Elba like waving the flag in front of Mario.
It could happen.
Don't count out Thor 3 yet, I guess. No, so then there's just a Tyrannosaurus Rex in the gymnasium. And to this movie's credit, with the low budget that it has, there could have been a worse dinosaur. This isn't a great dinosaur
like
effect.
Carnosaur.
It's very, yeah. It's like a better Carnosaur. Like they had $10,000 more for their dinosaur than I feel Carnosaur had, which that movie's kind of unwatchable.
Yeah, I can't get through it.
Carnosaur. But so here's this dinosaur, and you're like, okay. And here's the biggest tease of the movie. Fisher Stevens gets picked up by this T-Rex.
Oh, man.
And you're like, well, here it is.
He's going to get Shift.
Oh, come man. On. Oh, yeah, Richard Schiff him. Come on, do it. Do it. Although there isn't a second T-Rex to flip him back and forth, which is the single greatest part of the Lost World Jurassic Park.
The only good part of Lost World.
So I'm like, do it. Eat him. Eat him. And I think this dinosaur was like, oh, man, this guy's offensive. I don't want to put him in my body.
My body's a temple. I can't put this guy in there.
Oh, man, this guy's offensive, and he keeps calling me all these homophobic slurs.
I know they say the Mediterranean diet's the best, but jeez, this guy's just slimy.
Is skin carbohydrates? Probably, right? Yeah.
And so, like, this dinosaur is just like, no thanks, and drops him. And I'm like, no, dinosaur, come on. You are... Help me, dinosaur. You're our only hope here. Come on.
Nope. Better machine gun this dinosaur to death.
Yeah, because...
Oh, man.
Gladiator didn't stop him.
Nope.
The Viet Cong didn't stop him.
Nope.
Future Warriors didn't stop him.
Nope.
So you are our only hope.
Get your raptors if you have to. Just come on now.
And our hero blows a hole inside this dinosaur's chest.
Yeah, with like a grenade launcher or something.
It's
or
a god
missile.
Killer.
Yeah, it's he got like the good gun. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Splits this dinosaur in half.
Like it explodes.
A fiery, bloody rib cage.
There's an extended shot where Michael looks at the damage that he's created. And you just look, and it's just this cavernous hole with fire inside it. And I'm like, okay, cut away now.
Get it.
Cut away. Hello.
Put two and two together. I got it. Here.
And he's just like staring, like hypnotized into this dinosaur's fucking body.
No, we paid for that dinosaur body. We're showing the dinosaur body. Show it as much as possible.
So after we kill, King Koopa, we get up there and, the girl's okay and everything.
You touch
like that.
The star. And
yeah, exactly. Your theme song plays and you get the hell out of there. So she's totally fine. And then our hero, Michael, goes up to shut off the machine, because he's like, we can't just get out of here. We have to turn this thing off. And he is enveloped in this time tornado and disappears just like Dennis Hopper. And then the machine turns off. And I'm like, okay, kind of a brave ending movie. Like our hero sacrificed to this machine, but he turned it off. He saved the day, sacrificed himself.
My science project too, lost in time.
Why not? Yeah. You could do that, sure.
Michael in time.
But no, instead 10 seconds pass and then he reappears without anyone doing anything. Yep. And there's no explanation. He says nothing about where he's been. At least maybe it's a thing where he disappears, 10 seconds goes by, he reappears and he's an old man. like he's lived a life somewhere else or something like that. Mm-hmm. No, he just comes back and they're like, yeah, I guess that was close,
I've seen the future of Asian Nazis.
I don't know. I was up against the stars. I saw a baby, a fetus doing something, and then Sandra Bullock was doing his moonwalk.
I killed more of those Sasquatches.
It was really for me. You said I was gone for 30 seconds. You say, wow.
Apes aren't in charge here? Like, they're not. Okay. All right.
That would be great if he comes back and he's like, guys, don't worry. 300 years from now, I stopped the rise of the Planet of the Apes. We're set. So this machine's turned off, and you're like, all right, well, that's the end of it then. They just walk out of the school. Mm-hmm. And by this point, the fire department's there, there's cops everywhere. And this firefighter is just like, hey, you kids, get away from here. It's dangerous. And I'm like, no, they just walked out of this mess. Like, corral them over to the side.
No.
And there's going to be hours of Gitmo-esque questioning going on.
Ship them off to Cancer Man, and let's just get this over.
Cavity searches. But
general live cavity searches.
But instead, they basically, they might as well walk out of this place, putting sunglasses on, cue, school's out for summer.
You think they wanted to, and Alice Cooper was like, I am not licensing this song for this dumb movie. Oh, what's that? You have a gem like Dennis Hopper, and you get rid of him a half an hour into the movie? No, you can't have schools out for the summer. I'm sorry. You know what? Fix your script a little bit, then we'll talk.
Okay, I guess the romantics can cover schools out for summer.
The filmmakers are sentenced to summer school. With Mr. Shoop.
Oh, yeah, man. Remember Boner that? And Chainsaw.
Yeah, Dean Cameron in his glory days.
So you're like, all right, well, now this movie must be over with.
Yeah, you'd think so.
But then all of a sudden, the front door to the school bursts open, and the biggest atrocity lies ahead. Here comes Dennis Hopper. No explanation about where, what happened, how he got back. The only thing we know about Dennis Hopper is he's dressed exactly like his character from Easy Rider.
Fuck you.
He's got Billy's jacket and Billy's hat on, and he's been to Woodstock this whole time.
This was a secret Easy Rider too.
Yes. Yep.
The ride through time.
By the way, you go to exactly the fucking the time you want to go to.
Yeah.
Like, right on the dot.
Because this movie doesn't set up anything about this world of time travel. You know, if he said
so, it's just a wish that you come that comes true.
I guess that's the thing, right? Like the time you wish you were living in, maybe you could, but we don't know because this movie, this time travel movie, doesn't bother to set up any of the logistics of time travel in this movie.
There's no rules to the movie, so,
at all.
Yeah, so it's just
And I mean, I do feel like this and a flashback because I watched Flashback a ton and stay tuned.
You are not alone. I know up and down Huey Walker's legacy, man. And that evil Hightower.
And that weird fucking like Celtic Pride kidnapping scenario. It's just like, it's too much. But
Celtic Pride, by the way, that's a fucking stay tuned.
Big one. There's a bunch of stay tuned in this room. This is like that Wonka TV room. All the pieces, the stay tuned have been concentrated into this episode.
Just like anything else, there's no consequences for anybody, you know, during this movie. As a matter of fact, after all of this shit happens and they're outside and Dennis Hopper's alive and everybody's happy, like we're all standing around in front of the school and then Michael's like, oh, wait a minute, I forgot the machine. And he just runs upstairs and grabs it. What are you even doing, movie?
You should be going in there to drag out that T-Rex to get it taxidermied.
Like... First things first, take your trophy home.
Maybe military intelligence in 1950 said, okay, fuck it, put it underground. Man, the 1980s, are you fucking kidding me? Military intelligence is all over.
Dude,
this
Emperor
shit.
Reagan is going to start incorporating that into like the Star Wars program somehow. Yep.
Yeah.
We would have like a time satellite.
Like
oh,
we could
shit.
Concentrate and fire down time onto certain countries, so we'll just turn Russia into the Middle Ages again.
Well, here's what I think we're going to do. I hope you all missed Genghis Khan. Zap. And then they just get fucking blasted centuries into the past, man. You want to know what China was like before that wall was built? Zap, zap, zap. He would be mad with power if he had a time laser.
We'd be the only country that had anything.
Everybody else would be back to fucking feudal times, man. Feudal times. Actually, it would be like before the agrarian revolution. Like, I'm gonna zap them all back so they don't even know how to fucking farm. That's what I'm gonna do. We're just like this like hyper future nation.
Everyone else in the world thinks we're like aliens or something.
Exactly. Thanks for nothing, Emperor Reagan and your time satellite.
And I could just rule forever.
I'm going to go back to making Australia a penal colony. Get ready.
Oh, man, that'd be a great escape sequel. Escape from Australia, like Escape from New York.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm. All we needed was Reagan to do that and set
it's
that
fucking
up.
Fucking Pliskin and Yahoo Serious.
Yes! Yes.
What a team. First of all, what a team.
Here's the thing. Both those things are awesome. I know people will give flack to Yahoo Serious, but...
Young Einstein's pretty fantastic.
I like Young Einstein quite a bit.
It's pretty fun.
My question, by the way, what is Snake Plissken's situation at the end of Escape from L.A.? I don't remember how that movie
ends.
He
just fucking makes the world go back to the Stone Age.
It's like the time satellite. He
shuts down the world.
Yeah, he's like... This thing is like an electromagnetic thing. It's like, there you go. You're back. It's nothing. No electronics is ever going to work again.
Oh, yeah.
Something
so
like that.
Escape from Australia could totally work.
So, okay, but Emperor Reagan in the Snake Plissken timeline.
Right.
Obviously would have defenses like Star Wars to stop this from happening to America. So everyone else goes dark from Snake Plissken, except for America and their ultra sophisticated prison base of Australia. And once Reagan finally hunts him down in whatever Guatemalan whorehouse, he sends him there, and now him and Yahoo Serious, the comic relief prisoner.
He's the Rob Schneider from Judge Dredd.
He's Steve Buscemi and fucking Escape from LA.
Oh, so, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, so Snake Plissken is in Australia, and then he, you know, this Yahoo Serious knows all the ropes of the prison planet that they're on now. And then they just have to escape, you know?
And the Emperor of Australia, Mel Gibson.
Boom.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
You gotta take that one.
Like, there's some vague talk how they have to meet up with the rebels in Hong Kong or something. Take Back Australia.
God. I mean,
John Carpenter is still making mildly interesting movies, so he could do it.
Dude. Yeah. Escape from Australia already is... This fake movie is way better than fucking My Science Project. The only thing we can thank My Science Project for is birthing a great idea like Escape from Australia.
I mean, that
it's also Escape from Australia, me trying to get out of that Baz Luhrmann movie. Watching that in the theater.
What'd
you
get locked in?
I did. I went with this guy, Chris Cabin.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sisko. The doors are closed until the credits hit.
No! He's just banging on the door. No!
Oh, my God.
3 hours and 30 minutes. Oh, that's got to be a typo.
That can't be right.
Buys a ticket anyway.
Damn, the worst decision of my life.
Wow!
Well, it's up there.
I mean, it's in the top 10. I think watching Australia in the theater could be in your top 10 worst decisions.
I've still dodged it. I just moved right out of Gatsby.
You know what? You're good at that. You've dodged that. You dodged Sucker Punch. These are major fucking works of absolute asshole garbage.
I know, man. I've really been lucky. Watch someone come to my house tonight, strap me to a chair, and make me watch both with my eyes tied open.
That'd be really cool.
Escape from my apartment. So let's wrap this movie up, man. So, you know, they bring it back to this is really stupid. They bring it back to the junkyard.
Yeah.
He just dumps it back in the hole and puts like the cover back on the hole. And he's like, dusts his hands off like, all right, that's the end of that. Let's go back into town. The car breaks down again because they're out of gas. And wouldn't you know it, our main character has gone through some sort of change because he's a fully fleshed out character.
Ooh.
He's okay with walking back into town now.
With girl in tow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because he's going to get some now. So it's, I mean, now now his confidence is, you know, steady.
I mean, there is some scene after, I think it's after like the Dennis Hopper incident. Where they do like kiss a couple.
Oh yeah,
times.
I mean they're a couple now. I mean it's clear that they're a couple.
Right.
Now.
Well, you know, now he knows that he's aced his science project because he gave Hopper the trip of a lifetime.
Oh, that's right, Dennis Hopper's
A+,
like,
by the way.
You got an A+ on your science project, man.
So he's graduating high school. He's going to get out of this po-dunk town.
The po-funk all-stars.
So it doesn't matter that they all think he's a pussy for not driving a car into town.
Right.
I guess so.
Yeah, he's, you know, whatever. He doesn't care what other people think, man. You know, this weird experience of murdering all these people from the past and the future and the dinosaur has made him realize, you know what, man? There's bigger things in life than being concerned about walking into town because your car broke down.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine coming back from a trip through space and time. I imagine I'm going to be in a hospital for quite some time.
You'd have to be.
Like, for a while. I'm probably catatonic. I didn't say that right at all. But you know what I mean.
You'd be catatonic.
Catatonic.
Comatose, possibly.
Yes, I would be gone. Like, I'm not here anymore.
That's what I don't understand, is no one is like, hey, man, where did you go? What did you see? What happened to you?
I don't know. I went to a McDonald's in 1998. It was kind of weird.
They had this thing called the Arch Deluxe. It seemed like a waste of money and nobody wanted it. I walked into this McDonald's and they had milkshake cups filled with salads. They called them salad shakers. I don't think it'll last.
It's a green milkshake, a shamrock shake that I was drinking.
And by the way, they stopped selling pizza. Because of the 80s, they did briefly, right? They sold some
McDonald's
pizza.
Guys, can you believe that McDonald's got rid of the pizza they just started serving?
Their sausage was amazing.
What's that about? Man, McDonald's pizza, salad shakers, the Arch Deluxe. No fast food chain has had more fucking failures than McDonald's.
Just make a fucking burger and be done with it.
Just make me a cheeseburger and shut up. Just shut up. Anyway, this guy graduates high school and that's the end of the movie. We have through the credits an amazing song, which I want to play. I want to play the bass line here because
play
if anything's,
most of it.
Yeah, you know, just if go anything's going to, you know what? I'm just going to let it play us out of the episode starting now. I mean, this bass line, first of all, is really fantastic. If anything's going to get you excited about the 1980s, it's this song.
I mean, it's going to definitely make you move your shoulders.
There's a chorus coming up that's like, Science Project.
Yeah. You're saying Science Project a lot during this song. But the thing that's obnoxious about the credits that this awesome song is playing over, it's a lot of just like different stills from the movie, different, you know, some of them are actual scenes. It's a lot of, though, it's just Fisher Stevens outtakes. Yeah. It's like Fisher Stevens unsuccessfully hitting on women, you know, Fisher Stevens gay bashing someone, probably.
They thought he was like the character everyone was going to love in this
movie. Oh, yeah, you're going to want t-shirts from this guy. You know what I mean?
Quotes. Like,
he's the next Jeff Spicoli.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's what we're dealing with here, you know? It's Brooklyn's version of Jeff Spicoli. And it's terrible. But what's obnoxious is, so these credits end. Our last frame is on Fisher Stevens. Like, that's how much they wanted him to be something out of this movie. It's a shot of him getting his mugshot taken in the police station.
Right.
And, of course, he's got his sunglasses on at night because, man, oh, man, his future's so bright.
Dennis Hopper's barely in the fucking movie. And, I mean, John Stockwell is a walking, like, string cheese. So you got to put somebody there. It better be the person that's offended you the most.
Oh, you know what? That's perfect, because he's next most remembered for round facing Short Circuit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Playing,
that's his iconic role, is playing the Indian guy in Short Circuit, which as a child, I was totally convinced it was an Indian guy, and I was lied to.
I mean, his best work still is the fucking 1 minute he's in Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, yeah. Shut up. I haven't seen it.
He's in it, and it's not bad.
I will have seen it by the time this is out.
There you go.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Prepare thyself.
All right. Would anybody recommend My Science Project?
No, I kind of wouldn't. I mean, it sounds zany and crazy and fun, but it's kind of not that fun. It's just crazy. I mean, if you're really curious, I guess so, but...
I mean, it's a wasted opportunity.
No, I mean, I think the last 30 minutes are strange enough to warrant you wanting to watch that part of it, but the first hour is, who gives a shit?
Yeah, I'm not recommending this movie at all, but like the whole third act as a video game is just so weird. I mean, I feel like if you don't watch the rest of the movie, the shock of it turning into this like super violent shoot 'em up thing won't be as weird for you, mm-hmm. but it really is just so out of place tonally, and it's not fun. There's no jokes in this movie. Nothing's funny. Usually with stuff like this, too, I can always be counted on for the, I found a legitimate laugh.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an easy laugh, but there's just nothing, man. You just sit stone-faced through this movie, and then you're like, now things are being mutilated in front of me. Like, okay. I would recommend, by the way, this director... This Jonathan Batuul, he has a little bit of a storied directorial history here. It's this movie, two episodes of Freddy's Nightmares, and then he directed Theodore Rex with Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, my God. He was like, who else used a stupid fake dinosaur? let's get him to direct this, then.
Yeah, now it's a dinosaur, but he's a talking cop dinosaur. That's fine.
Same thing.
So wait, did he have the idea for Yoshi in Super Mario Brothers then?
It's possible. Yeah. And you know, he didn't direct this other movie, but he wrote the screenplay, Last Starfighter.
Oh my God.
This dude wrote The Last Starfighter.
Honestly,
man.
That's a recommend.
Yeah, that movie's fucking crazy.
That's a much stronger movie than
that. That is a recommend, man. Yeah, but have a good old-fashioned 80s night in with that movie. This movie, not so much.
No, this movie is a waste of time.
I mean, if you're going to bed, sure. You need something to lull you to sleep for the first, like, five minutes. Yeah.
It'll put you right out, man.
But your dreams will be something.
That's My Science Project from 1985, directed by Jonathan R. Batuul. If you want to get a hold of us and find out more information about the show, check out whmpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at whmpodcast. Is there a worse time travel movie out there? And by worst time travel movie, I mean, is there a movie that so underuses time travel, it's obscene? Let us know about it. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com. If you subscribe to the show in iTunes, rate and review there if you could. We'd greatly appreciate it. We're also on Stitcher Radio. Download the Stitcher app and you can get our shows on the go. You know, wherever you get our show, if you're able to leave a comment, a rating, a review, whatever, please do it. We would appreciate it very much. Check out Eric's show, Blame It on Outer Space.
Which, by the way, this week, Wilford Brimley, I got another celebrity, is going to be on
the
show.
You scored Brimley, man?
I couldn't believe it either. I couldn't believe I actually got access to this.
How many shotgun shells did you have to give him?
You just got to have to listen to the episode. It comes out tomorrow. BlameItOnOuterSpace.com.
That's crazy. They're also on Facebook and on Twitter at BlameSpacePod. Rate and review there as well. We would greatly appreciate that. Also, hint for next week, Chris Cabin.
Roger Ebert hated this movie.
There you go.
But like legendarily. Like he legendarily
hated this movie. There you go. So until next week, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Sisko.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.